All righty, good morning again. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 1, if you would. This morning, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, we can go down and start at verse 6. Galatians 1, 6. Where Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, we appreciate these folks that came this morning and some guests here to see some folks baptized. That's a joy. I pray that you'll bless them for having come. And Lord, we once again want to turn back to basics a little bit here this morning and just make sure that we are squared away on some things, Father, and we're 2,000 years deep into the church age and to Christianity, and there's just a lot that's gone wrong as far as the gospel's concerned, not from your end, Lord, but from ours. And so we pray that you'll help us now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now again, a little bit of a return to the basics this morning. We're going to be basic in that there's some folks that are going to get baptized. They're going to get baptized because they've been saved already, trusted Christ as their Savior. And so we want to talk for a little while about something. If you'll notice here in verse 6, Paul said that he marveled that ye, talking to the Galatians, are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. He said, I marvel at that. Now, Paul wasn't surprised. It said that he marveled. I know he wasn't surprised because he predicted this as early as Acts chapter 20, where he said that, I know that after I leave that grievous wolves will enter in and mess some of you guys up. And so it was not that he was surprised this happened. He seemed to have marveled because it was so soon removed. They so soon removed themselves. In 1:6, you have so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ. It happens quickly, and you should just be aware that things can go downhill quickly, spiritually, even if you're saved. He said further, he also marvels that folks were so soon removed from him that called them. I mean, it's one thing to not be steadfast with just some dude, but Jesus Christ is not just some dude. You're talking here about the Son of God who paid the price for everyone. These folks were just one generation removed from Christ being here, having died, been buried, resurrected. You should have thought that they would be able to keep that in mind, but man's memory is very subject to forgetfulness, is it not? But removed to another gospel, it says in verse 6. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these are Galatians, and these folks are Christians. Okay? And the Christians are troubled in verse 7. There are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. It said that that gospel has been perverted. That is a strong term. And so it didn't take long, it doesn't take long, for things to be totally twisted, corrupted, and polluted. And so we want to address this for a little while this morning. It says that you've been removed to another gospel. I just have a quick verse for you to turn to, just a page or so back, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And notice not only is there another gospel, but down in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 11, 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached. There's another Jesus too. Not only another gospel, but another Jesus. And according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, let me just go back there for a second. You're not going to have to turn much this morning, so just relax. But verse 8, Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Okay, this perversion, this thing that happens, can come through two vectors. One is the human vector, though we preach it, or a spiritual vector, or an angel from heaven preach it. And we know that Satan is also involved in all this, but it can come by either a human vector or by a spiritual vector or by a combination of the two. And so that's how the gospel is perverted. Now, folks, if the gospel was perverted in the very shadow of the cross in Galatia in the first century, here we are 20 centuries later. How much you think some folks have managed to pervert the gospel? And I'd like to talk to you for a little while about that here this morning, because it has been perverted by many, changed, polluted. At what point does it become ineffectual to the point that it no longer saves? If I give you enough wrong information, how can you possibly believe right? I don't know where that exact point is, but I know this. Paul preached the gospel as the power of God unto salvation. Paul preached that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Said that there's one God and one mediator, only one, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He said you should turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. He called them to repent and to turn by faith to God and to Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, is what he said. So now the gospel's 2,000 years old, and the years have multiplied the perversions, the pollution, the corruption. And there are various ways to categorize how this has happened, in the sense of, I could go down this bullet-pointed list and go through an encyclopedic list of how Islam is wrong, Hinduism is wrong, and I know I'm going to tread close here, but what I'm going to tell you is true biblically. I can go through and tell you where in the mainstream Protestants are wrong. Where in the mainstream Catholics are wrong. We can go down this long list and hit every single thing, but then there's another way of doing this. I want to preach to you this morning on some other gospels, and I'm not going to put denominations in these main categories. Now, I'm going to mention denominations here, okay? And I just want to say that Baptists are among some of these, okay? But I have some other gospels to present to you. I want you to know that there's another gospel. There are other gospels, just like there's another Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know the Jesus Christ of the Bible, you don't know Jesus Christ. Because the only way we know Jesus Christ is through the Bible. This is God's book. These are God's Word. And the Lord told us what He wanted us to know about His Son. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible, you're playing games. You're playing games. So let me just talk to you for a while about other gospels. Let me just, and you're not going to have to turn to lots of places this morning. This will be a different categorization than you expect, maybe. But there is the gospel of passive mental assent. Now, this gospel affects a lot of people, I would dare say, in most, quote-unquote, Christian denominations. I believe that there are good Baptists that sit in Baptist churches lost as a goose in a horse race. So I'm not just picking on somebody else here, but I'm talking about the gospel of passive mental assent. And what I mean by that, there are many lifelong, notice the air quotes, don't forget the air quotes, Christians, maybe they are, but many times they're not, that there are many lifelong Christians that you know, I'm talking about friends, fellow employees, parents, relatives, and they have likely gone to the same church for many, many years, maybe more than one generation. They may sit in the church this morning in the same church their mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers sat in. They have sat in that pew forever. That's the family pew. They've sat there forever, and they may have been born and reared there. They may have warmed that seat for most Sunday mornings and most holidays for long, long years. And there are some characteristics of those that adhere to the gospel of passive mental assent. Usually, they're very quickly offended by specifics of their faith when they're challenged. They're usually very quick and very defensive and really not very able to answer why they believe what they believe, but they are easily offended. That's one of the marks. They have, further, there's no real power spiritually manifest in their lives. If they weren't Christians, you wouldn't know it. Most usually, it's a mask as much as anything. They are Christians for the 11 to 12 o'clock hour on Sunday. And then the rest of the week, you wouldn't know that they were a Christian. They are many times quote-unquote Christians that have given heed to the gospel of passive mental assent. They have no real love for God. They never manifest that. They are usually not passionate about anything spiritual. Now, they're passionate about all kinds of other stuff. They can make a complete fool out of themselves at a Vikings game. They paint their bellies purple and everything and let everybody see. But people like us are fanatics. Okay? I want to say that they hope they are going to heaven. But they don't know. And you can't tell. They hope they're going to heaven. You going to heaven when you die? Boy, I hope so. Well, haven't you been a fill in the blank for the last 45 years of your life? Well, yeah. But they don't teach us that we can know at our church. You know what I'm saying? If you can't know you're going to heaven when you die, what good is it to be a Christian? They know nothing of any real import in the Bible. They know fragments that they've had preached to them. They know that Noah's in there somewhere. And they know it's a sin to kill a mockingbird. Because it's somewhere in there. And it's not. But that's the kind of Christians they are. They are Christians who have been given and have adhered to the doctrine of passive mental assent. They are the proponents. They are the victims of the gospel of passive mental assent. Their religious experience pretty much consists of having sat in a pew and nodded at the things that the guy is saying. Or the gal. And basically their idea about specifics of doctrine have to do, it's like this. It's a shrug. You ever witness to a shrugger? Hey, you know you're going to heaven when you die? What do you think about eternal security? A shrugger. What that means is that they've assented, they've just kind of adapted the things that have been said. It's kind of like people listen to news these days. They just kind of accept what is being said because plainly it's on the internet. It has to be true. And that's kind of how people approach, even though they have a Bible they never open, that's how they approach their religion. It's the gospel of passive mental assent. I just want to say the gospel of passive mental assent is not the same as belief and faith. Okay, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, not just hearing anything, and hearing by the Word of God. There are lots of folks that think they're saved, ladies and gentlemen, because there was a time as a baby they got sprinkled And furthermore, when they were 12, they confessed a confession. They memorized or read a confession, and that confession of faith made them a Christian. No, that's passive mental assent. That's you doing this so that you can follow in your parents' and your grandparents' footsteps in the religion they're in. In what were you converted? When were you converted? Certainly not by sprinkling water. This is the gospel of passive mental assent. Your spirit must be born again. Your soul has to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ washes nobody against their will. You have to desire it. Your passions have to be reached. You have to know you're a sinner. You have to feel guilty before God about that sin and then find the answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. The gift of God is the faith and salvation that comes through faith. You don't get saved by being a Baptist. You don't get saved by being a Methodist. You don't get saved by being a Catholic. And you certainly don't get saved by being a JW. Just want you to know. The gospel of passive mental assent, where you're just in church, just a whatever you are because your parents and your grandparents were, that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You know, somebody that has been without drink, by that I mean water, for 3 days, when he crawls up to your front porch and you set a glass of water down before him, I tell you what he's not going to do. He's not going to go. That's not what starving people do. Do you understand the lesson? Listen, you are a direly needful sinner if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You are the enemy of God. You're a child of the devil. That's not your fault. It's how you were born. And so Jesus Christ kindly came along and told you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be converted. And if you're not converted, you're not a Christian. And just going along to get along and saying that you're a Methodist because you've gone to the Methodist church for the last 70 years is not good enough. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But you have to believe. You have to put your faith and trust in Christ. There's another gospel, let me mention, not just the gospel of passive mental assent, which equals, right? It's the gospel of mystic substitutions. And by that I mean the apostle said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I'm quoting Bible. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's one God. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, for he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Ye must be born again. Now that's what the apostle said. That's what Jesus Christ said. And Paul taught that you have faith, that you have access to Christ by faith and faith only. It's not by water. When I point, you may not be able to see it, but that's water down there. It's not by water. It's not by communion. It's not by a system of good works. It's certainly not by becoming a Baptist. Access to God through Christ is by faith and faith alone. And that's the gospel. Now, what has happened, there's been a series of mystic substitutions. And these things cover a gamut of all kinds of different denominations. My wife was raised a Catholic, okay? For years, she was taught and believed that if she died with her scapular around her neck, that she would immediately go to heaven without a stop in purgatory. Essentially, wearing a lucky rabbit's foot is what gets you to heaven. Now, I dare you to find that in the Bible. And if you can't find that in the Bible, then that is the gospel of mystic substitution. That you taking the truth and saying, no, I don't like that. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to get my lucky clover and get in that way. That does not work that way. A mystic ceremony, very mystic, in fact, where a priest stands and prays and says magic words over a wafer, which is just a glorified cracker. And the doctrine is that wafer magically, mystically becomes the body of Jesus Christ. And the wine that's in the chalice mystically, magically becomes the blood of Jesus Christ. And the penitent comes forward and takes, the communicant comes forward and takes of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And for as long as the body and blood of Christ are in their systems, they're saved. Now what happens the other 6 days of the week? 6 days of the week, I don't know. That is the gospel of mystic substitution. You've taken the truth of God and turned it into a bunch of nonsense. Could you tell me how in the world it could be true that taking a baby, which if it died, it would go to limbo or hell, but if you take it and dinkle water on its head, that makes it cool. It's now in the family of God. And you pick somebody in a family and they can substitute their faith for the kid's faith. And if the kid dies, he'll go to heaven. Where in the world do you find that in the Bible? Well, the Apostle Paul didn't write about it. Neither did Peter, and neither did John, and neither did anybody. Neither did anybody in the Old Testament. Say, what is that? That's somebody just substituting willy-nilly what they want to be the case and ignore entirely what God says the case is. It's the gospel of mystic substitution. If I abstain, I know I'm walking close to the line. I know that I'm talking about a specific denomination, some here, but I'm talking about many of them. I would assure you that the Protestants aren't very far behind the Catholics in this. Okay? But the idea that if I abstain from meat on Friday, that helps me get to heaven. What in the world does that have to do with anything? That if I have on the right underwear all the time, I'm not talking about clean underwear, I'm talking about the right denominational underwear, I'll be saved. That's what the Mormons believe. I'm not kidding you. You say, oh, you're joking. No, I'm not joking. That's what they believe. You say, well, where in the world does somebody come up with something like that? Same place you come up with infant baptism. You know, we disdain. I mean, boy, if we think about a witch doctor takes off all his clothes and rolls in chalk or something like that, puts on a loincloth. He's got blood dripping out of the corner of his mouth where he's drunk part of a blood sacrifice. He's whipped himself. He's dancing around in some spiritual and partially drug-induced high around a fire, you know, with his headdress on and a bone through his nose and everything else. And he's just killed a baby on the altar and all that stuff. Boy, we are disgusted by that. But when a 21st century Christian puts an image up in his garden and says that's part of the way to heaven, or listens to somebody that says you have to marry somebody of a certain denomination or else you're going to go to hell, where does that come from? Somebody says that you have to get baptized in water to be saved. Sprinkle that baby. Wear that those ashes in the shape of a cross on your forehead. I saw a newsman not too long ago, I think it was this last Easter, during Lent, with ashes on his forehead. Pretty sold out. Pretty dedicated. Where'd he get it from? No clue. Certainly not the Bible. You say, I don't think it's right for you to critique other religions. You think they critique us? And who has the authority to critique? Who has a Bible? Who has a ruler to say, no, now God said this was this long, and you guys say it's this long, and no, it's this long. You know, if you don't have a final authority, if the final authority you do have, like your church, keeps shifting positions. You know, J.W. said that the 144,000 were J.W.s that went to heaven. Until there became more than 144,000 J.W.s, then they had to add another number in there so that they could get all their J.W.s to heaven. What does that mean? It means they've been wrong all along. Right? See, ladies and gentlemen, the point is that, you know, substitutions do not confer eternal life. Just because you say, well, God, oh, God said this, but I think that this is a better idea. God doesn't have to honor your idea. I don't know about you, but substitutions are always lesser. I don't know about you, but when I have a hamburger, I want a cow dead in my burger. And if you start, I mean, if you have stomach problems, I got it. I get it. But if you start adding black beans and squash and stuff like that, try to make that substitute for meat, I'm out. I like vegetables, and I'll just eat the vegetables. Just don't pretend it's a hamburger. When I have dessert, I want it with fat and sugar. When you start substituting for the fat and the sugar, I'm out. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure why anybody would want to adhere to a religion that promotes salvation by a way that's not even in the book. What in the world? Look, if you're not a Christian and don't want to be a Christian, just throw out the book and be done with it. Just don't pretend that you're doing it by the way of the Bible if you're not following the Bible to do it. Because I know this. If you don't believe on Jesus Christ according to the Bible, you're lost. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. For he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we've seen the gospel of passive mental assent. That's somebody being taught the Bible and going, or being taught religion and going, okay. And that's their faith. Okay. Whatever you say, okay. And then there's the gospel of mystic substitution, where just about anything else does besides the truth. Then there's the gospel of corporate inclusion. Again, this encompasses a whole bunch of different beliefs. But you know, by the time I'm done here with four or five, it's going to cover all the ground that needs to be covered. If there's one thing today that is taught, it's that God is inclusive. I mean, God is tolerant. God is diverse. God lives in a big tent with a big front door to get as many in as will come. He wants everybody in. It's easy to get in. And some of these things are even kind of true. There's just a lot that doesn't matter to God. He does not care about specifics. God just indiscriminately loves you and wants everybody in. And that sounds real good. It makes everybody feel real good. Just sign here. Join the club. And you're good. And the only problem is it's not true. God is not inclusive. Not in our sense of being inclusive. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That means Mary is out. That means that somebody praying to this pagan goddess is not in. They're out. That means that somebody taking a communion thinking it's the body, literally the body and blood of Christ, which gives eternal life, at least for a while, it's wrong. It's ridiculous. I got eternal life until it, I'll just say it politely, till it passes through my system, and then I'm up a creek until I take communion again? That's what's taught. That's what is believed. Now, I just want to say that God is not inclusive. He's exclusive. Now, doesn't mean you're not invited, but except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's very exclusionary. If you don't come through Christ, Christ is the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're trying to go through Allah, I got news for you. That's not how you get there. If you think the vicar of Christ is the way to go, you're very wrong. That is just another stinking lost man who doesn't believe this book at all. And he will admit it if you get in his presence to ask him. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. And straight is the gate, straight. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And few there be that find it. And again, I can only express to you that Jesus Christ, God commendeth his love to us. It's an expansive love. God commendeth his love to us in Jesus Christ, but it's only through Christ that you get it. I'm sorry, there's all kinds of good deeds that can be done. There's all kinds of things that you can do. Some of those things are admirable. You have to appreciate someone that will give their life to the betterment, quote-unquote betterment, of humanity. But that doesn't make them saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord is very exclusive. He's very restrictive. There was one door into Noah's ark. And if you tried to go some other way, you died in the flood. I'm just really sorry, but Islam is not the Eastern equivalent of Christianity. Different God, who, by the way, was a moon god in history. Different prophet, different savior, whole different system. The gospel of corporate inclusion. Back in the day, there was a, when Constantine brought about what essentially became Catholicism, this is, we're talking 300s and 400s A.D., he decided politically that Catholicism would serve him very well politically, because if he could, you know, bind together all these various pagan peoples under one faith, then he could maybe make this work politically. And so he did that, accepting all that the pagans brought in and called it Catholicism, and he kept baptism around. He even allowed Clovis, the king of the Franks. Now, that's what we would call Frenchmen today, but they were a barbaric tribe. Clovis, king of the Franks, converted his army to Christianity by marching them through the river. From that day on, Clovis led a Christian army. Now, if you can't go like that, then there's something wrong with you. You're one of these. You don't want to be one of these. You don't want one of these guys that can go. That's crazy. Unfortunately, it happened. And I just want to say, God is not the God of a gospel of corporate inclusion, nor the God of the gospel of passive mental assent, nor the God that will put up with mystic substitutions to replace his son. Doesn't work. I want to say there's yet another. This will go fairly quickly. There's also the gospel of generic and unconditional acceptance. It's become very popular. All roads lead to heaven. Doesn't matter if you're a Hindu. Doesn't matter if you're a Krishna, a Hare Krishna. Doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist. Doesn't matter if you're an American Indian. You can be anything. All roads lead to God. It's the gospel of unconditional acceptance. Allah is just as good. God, actually, Allah is just God by another name. And all the prophets are just Jesus Christ by another name. We are all God's children. That's according to Barney Fife. All God's children have an uvula. He was worried about the little dangly thing in the back of his throat. And he went to the doctor and found out that all God's children have an uvula. I got news for you. We're not all God's children. They say that God is in all religions. After all, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. But it defines that, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, because they're perishing, but have everlasting life. You see, the Bible dictates specific things to believe. Michael Landon, Little House on the Prairie, that's an all-inclusive thing. You know, anybody can be saved. If you're a good person, you're going to be saved. Good. Says Michael Landon. Paul. Right? Reverend Alden. Are y'all in another century or what? little house on the prairie. The Bible says that there are specific things to believe. You have to place your faith in the one mediator between God and men. You've got to place your faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, it says that He was made for us a propitiation. That means a substitute for our sins, an atonement by something very specific, by faith in His blood. You're called upon to believe specifically on the person of Christ, and in particular, the blood that He shed for you on Calvary, because that was God's blood. It's a very, very specific thing. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, He rose again the third day. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And those that don't will hear the words, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, I believed in God with all my heart. But that's not the new birth. It's belief in God through Christ. And lastly, there is the gospel of various deeds and doodads. This kind of covers everything else. This is like a system of works. I'm not a Christian, but I love all God's creatures. You know, when I see an ant, I make sure and walk around it. Because all life is precious. Therefore, why could God send me to hell? And He'll do it so fast, He'll make your head spin. Because you're picking and choosing. And it doesn't work that way. There's this guy on radio. I've heard him for years off and on whenever I listen. And I don't think this particular advertisement is on specifically anymore, but he began by advertising and saying that, you know, he's a specialist in getting people out of their timeshares. And he said, he's a Southern guy, he goes, here's what happened to me. He said, I sold this woman a timeshare, and I realized I was going to hell because I was selling people timeshares. And so now I started a company to make sure people can get out of their timeshares. So his salvation was helping people get out of timeshares, because he was going to hell selling people timeshares. Well, that's a doodad. I mean, pick and choose. I mean, you can, you know, you can be saved because you eat mayonnaise instead of Miracle Whip. See, I never heard anybody say that. Well, there's probably somebody. But some of the stuff that's in Christianity is just as bad. It's just as bad. I don't go to church, but I'll tell you what, I am very conscious of the earth. I may be a drunk, but I never killed anybody. I may be a this, but I never did a that. It's amazing, you know, how self-righteous we get, because we're not like somebody else. There's a few assumptions that come with that, by the way. You are supremely confident that you're better than somebody else. And you're supremely confident that God looks at it the way you look at it. And you don't really look at yourself. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I mean, they have all gone back, the Bible says. They have all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, something He wants to give you, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Well, these folks are going to come get baptized here in just a minute. And, you know, they're coming to get baptized because they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have the promises that God made to all who will believe on His Son. So they're going to come and they're going to be dunked in water. And you say, well, why dunk them? We dunk them because it's supposed to represent a burial. It's supposed to represent a rising from the dead, being under the wrath of God. The water in the tank represents the wrath of God, because after all, God drowned this earth once in water. It was the judgment of God. So a sinner comes and is dunked, picturing not only death, but being under the judgment of God, and he's raised to walk in newness of life in Jesus Christ. A friend and I were going on visitation once. This was years ago now, and I just have never quite forgotten it. We were knocking doors in St. Paul, and we were just getting the church started, and a lady came to the door, and man, she was rough. I mean, she was rough. And her hair was, you know, and greasy, and she didn't have any teeth, and, you know, just a skanky t-shirt on, and it's just, you know, it was plainly somebody that was really having a rough time. So we started witnessing to her and compassion, and I mean that sincerely. And she just laughed and cursed at us. And she had a cigarette in her hand. She said, I want to tell you something, Sonny. They don't come much cleaner than me. That's kind of how men are. You know, no matter how bad you are, you're always better than somebody else. And in your own view, you're going to justify yourself no matter what. Be careful about that. Be careful about justifying yourself over just anything that you were taught or believed. Because there's another gospel. And there's another Christ. And heaven is not the only place that you go when you die, if you're lost. Because you will die and go to hell. And hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for you. So, don't go. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we appreciate your goodness to us here.